Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Good to see you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Amen. You can be seated. Sit down. 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 All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have been praying for the students at Hiles Anderson College to get some excitement and enthusiasm. I hope that someday you might be enthusiastic about things. Amen. You're the craziest bunch of people I know. Amen. And I used to sit out here in the audience. I sit out there, and the preacher would come out. We'd cheer for him and all that. And when we have a guest preacher, now, you know, the staff, we knew them, you know, but a guest preacher would come in, and we'd be going, amen. Who is that guy? Hey, woo, you know him? Who is that guy? Who is that? Amen. And things have not changed a bit, have they? Keep it up. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, and we're going to go to, I'm going to need some men to help me this morning here. Turn to 2 Samuel, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I love Hiles Anderson College. I love the staff members here and the faculty members. I love the students of this college. It's a great place. You are in an elite institution, an elite place, with some of the finest Christians you'll ever meet right here, I guarantee you. And you are building memories that you will have for a lifetime. And it will be wonderful. You look back on these days, now you're looking at it like, good night, all the final exams. Oh my. So, and I know every teacher thinks that they're the only class you take. Right? And they give you all of these assignments like there's no other classes, and you're only in their class. I know, I'm a professor here. I know. I try to help you like that. Did you find 2 Samuel? Find 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel, if you found it, say amen.
Amen.
If you didn't find it yet, say oh me. The ones who just said, oh me, they're the seniors. Because they're in another land. I'm graduating. This is almost over. It is finished. Oh no. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Did you find it? Go to verse 6, if you will. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the men that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. Now, verse 8 is where we want to start here. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, and the same was Adino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. I'm just reading the Bible, folks. I'm just reading the Bible. All right. The Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He rose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. That word Hararite means that he's from the mountains. He was a mountain man. All right, you ever see a mountain man? You can imagine, this guy was a mountain man. He's one of David's mighty men. Here we go here. And when the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, there was a piece of ground full of lentils. That means like a bean field, like it'd be a soybean field nowadays. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold with the garrison of the Philistines, was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the 3 mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was at the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these 3 mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among the 3. And he lift up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had a name among the 3. Was he not the most honorable of the 3? Therefore, he was their captain, howbeit attained not unto the first 3. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew 2 lion-like men in Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had a name among the mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not unto the first 3, and David set him over his guard." I want to talk to you about these mighty men of God here, and I'm going to need some help, but let me give you a little background here. King David had somewhat of about 110,000 soldiers, all right? 110,000 people. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, 110,000 people that drew the sword. These were warriors. These were soldiers. And then he had these 37 that had established themselves and had distinguished themselves in battle, and they were his mighty men. They went with David everywhere. These men were men of war. These men were men of battle. And by the way, you know, the thing is, I get so weary of people promoting Jesus as a little effeminate, long-haired. See these pictures, and they're like this, you know, Jesus is like, you know, the Bible is full of masculine, warrior-like men. And what we need in a society today, I get so weary. Oh, don't fight, don't fight, don't fight. Tell David that. Anybody with me here? Yeah, I'll tell you what. Oh, oh, oh. Bible even says in the book of Exodus that God is a man of war. Anybody with me here? I'm sick of this little effeminate garbage that goes on in the world today. Fellas, be men. And if you follow Christ, you are a man. People out there say, "Oh, you little Christians are sissies." No, the true men follow Christ. Amen. David was a man of men. He was a strong man, a warrior. He was a mighty warrior. And these 37 men were warriors. I'm talking about, you read what they did, and these men were unbelievable warriors. They were men. And by the way, David was no sissy. You don't have these kind of guys follow a sissy. Anybody with me here? A guy who's a warrior doesn't come in and say, "Okay, fellas, follow me. Let's go beat them. Let's go fight the fight." And the men of war, "That's right, we're following this guy. Yeah." Men be men. Act like a man, talk like a man, walk like a man, look like a man, dress like a man, behave like a man, be a man. What we need in America today are men who are men of God, who are not afraid, men of courage, men who are men of valor, men who are valiant men, men who will stand for Christ, men who will fight the battle against evil and the world and the flesh and the devil. We need men in America again today. We need men. David was a man. He was a man's man. He was a tough man. He was a warrior. He killed Goliath when he was a teenager. I mean, he killed Goliath and cut his head off. David was no wimp. David was a man. David was a courageous man. And the world would like to have us think that, oh, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to be a little sissy and let everybody walk on you. No, 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 no. That has nothing to do with my message, but I thought I'd throw it in. David had 110,000 soldiers, but 37 of them excelled. 37 of them distinguished themselves as mighty men of war. And so would you be King David for me today? Come on, King David. We have King David. I need 37 men. I guess we don't have any here. I need 37 men. We got at least 37, all right? We've got it. These were the greatest warriors in Israel. Are you impressed? Are you depressed? Okay. These were David's mighty men. Out of the 110,000 soldiers he had, 37 of them were distinguished warriors. They had done mighty deeds in battle. They had conquered great things. They were men of men. They were the men who were the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the top of the top. Here they are, the best ones that David had, the greatest, most powerful, solid men that he had. Now, one thing that we don't often think about, you remember the story of David and Bathsheba and her husband Uriah the Hittite. Uriah was one of David's mighty men, one of the 37. Which makes his crime, in my mind, even worse. I mean, what he did was awful. But one of the men who was a valiant man, stood with him, fought with him, excelled, and stood with him, he had him killed in battle. That's a terrible thing. You know, people who are loyal to you, be loyal to them. Be loyal to your leaders, and when you're a leader, be loyal to your followers. It goes both ways here, all right? But anyway, here he has his 37 valiant men. These are the cream of the crop. These are his mighty men. David, in 2 Samuel 23, is an old man, and he is writing his memoirs, and he's writing about these different men, and he's remembering what they did. He's writing down some of the things they did. So we're going to pick out five of the top 10. Okay, so I need five of the top 10. One, two, three, four, five. Okay, come on. You guys get back there. Go back there. Thank you. All the rest of you, you can go home. Go back. Go back. Okay, gentlemen, go in that door, and to your left, when you go in there, there are knives, sword, spear. Go. Go get it. Bring it out here. King David, you can go back to your throne. King David sitting on his throne. Now, David's mighty men we have here, these men who were excelled above them, excelled above the rest of them. They were mighty men. You have Adino, Eleazar, Shammah, Abishai, Benaiah. His mighty men were well armed. This was his pocket knife. Amen. All right. Well, seeing who has it, I better put it back in the sheath. All right, these men were armed. Now, what I'm going to do is I want to give you some thoughts here this morning from these mighty men of God, these mighty men of David, and some things that God, he wrote this. It's in the Bible. It's for us to learn. And obviously, today, we don't usually fight with swords and spears. And this is, I didn't have a spear. Would y'all pray for me to get a spear? I need a spear. I have all these other things, but I need a spear. Yeah, there's a spear right back there. I can just see us using him to whip people with you. Wham, wham, wham. Smack him around there, all right. One of the men in my church, I asked him if he knew where I could get an ox goad, you know, from the Bible, and he said he'd check around where he couldn't find it, so he made one. So we're just going to, this is actually the way an ox goad looked like in the Bible time, and we're going to use it for a spear today, okay? Is that all right? Okay. It's got a pointy top on it and everything. It's close enough, all right? So there we go. All right. Now, here we're going to have, here's David's mighty men. We read about the first one, Adino. Adino, he had a spear. You're Adino. What's your name? What's his name?
Adino.
What's his name?
Adino.
What's his name?
Adino.
You are no longer Roman white. You're Adino. Okay? So who is he?
Adino.
Now, the Bible says about Adino here, it says he's the Tachmonite, he's a Tachmonite, an Asnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. He took his spear, go down there. He took his spear. He took his spear and he took on a crowd of soldiers double the size of what we have here today. Now, can you imagine all of them coming after him, and he fights them off? Come on, come after him. Some of you guys on the front, come after him. Come after him. Come on. Y'all are afraid to. Nobody will come against him. I don't know what this is here. And he killed 800 with his spear. Now, that's an amazing thing. A warrior that went against 800 people single-handedly killed 800 Philistines, stood against them in battle, and these weren't just the Philistines that were sitting at home that he walked in and killed. These were Philistine soldiers, and they came after him, and he stood against them and killed 800 of them with his spear. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Thank you, Adino. Go back up there before you hurt somebody. Then we have, I'm going to come back and tell you what this is all about in a second here. Then we have Eleazar. Eleazar, the Bible says in verse 9 here, it says, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohi, one of three mighty men. And when they gathered to battle, and then in verse 10, he rose and smote the Philistines till his hand was weary, and his hand clave to the sword. Come here, you got the big sword here.
Yeah.
Okay. Eleazar. We don't know how many Eleazar killed, but we know that he fought in the battle so long that his hand clave to the sword. In other words, I don't know if you've ever worked on a building, hammering or something, your hand gets stiff after a while, and you're just like, ah. He had fought so much that his hand clave to the sword. He couldn't get it out. He couldn't get rid of that sword. It was there. Okay, so fight. Going to kill the guy on the front row here. So Eleazar, he fought until his hand clave the sword. Now, Adino, he killed how many of Philistines?
800.
800. How many?
800.
How many?
800.
And he killed them with a spear. We have Eleazar, and he fought so long, we don't know how many killed, but he was in the battle so long that his hand clave to the sword. He couldn't get it out of his hand. He couldn't get the sword out of his hand. All right, so Eleazar, he couldn't, let's just say his hand clave to the sword. Okay, Eleazar, come on up here. All right, so we have the first one, Adino, and he used a spear and killed how many Philistines? Eleazar, he fought with the sword until his hand came to. And then there's a fellow named Shammah here. The Bible says after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, in other words, a mountain man. And the Philistines were gathered together in troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled. But he stood in the midst of the ground, defended it, and slew the Philistines, and wrought a great war. Okay, who's going to be? Okay, come on, Shammah. Shammah We don't know what weapon he had, but today he has a sword, okay? It's not as good a sword as Eliezer's, but it worked out good. And what happened... I knew we picked the wrong mighty men here. All right, I knew we did. So what he did is there was a bean field, and the Philistines came, about 120 Philistines. Okay? So all of you in this section, stand up. Stand up. And all of you folks are Israelites. You're Philistines. You're Israelites. And you stand in the middle down there. Shama, go stand in the middle. So the Israelites, they see the Philistines coming and they go, ah! Pitiful. They see the Philistines coming and they go, ah! And they run away. They run away. They run away. They run away. Do not leave chapel. And so here Shama is in a bean field. What are you Philistines doing? Yeah, I didn't tell you sit down. Stand up, Philistines. He stands in the bean field and he defeats the 120 Philistines there. And so they're defeated now. You're defeated. And all the Israelites came back. Okay. Excellent. Okay. Come on, Shama. You know, this is not working out quite like I had planned, but. Then we have Abishai. Abishai here. Abishai also had a spear, but I only have one spear, so we're just going to pretend like you have a spear, okay? This is his spear. His spear broke, and so he just has the top of it, okay? Now, the Bible says that he killed 300 Philistines with his spear. All right? Okay, come on back up. Come on back up. And then the last one here, Benaiah. Benaiah was a valiant man. The Bible says he was a man of courage. Now, he slew an Egyptian man. And, okay, so I guess you're Benaiah. Benaiah, go on down here. Now put your knife, Benaiah, put your knife away. Because he had nothing in his hand. And there was this Egyptian who had a spear. Pablo, come up here. So Pablo is going to be an Egyptian, and Benaiah, and you have a spear, just pretend you have a spear. And he came and took the spear from the guy. They fought. He took the spear, and he killed him. And so the Egyptian died. Okay, thank you, Pablo. Appreciate it. You are enjoying this too much. Okay, come on up. Now, here's what I want to teach you, and I have just a few minutes. Listen carefully. I want to give you several thoughts about this here. And why would God put this in here? First of all, he said, I give you a dino. You say, what does that mean? The dino stood against overwhelming odds. You know what? Over 800 people that he had to fight with a spear, that's overwhelming odds. And you know what? Sometimes in the ministry, when you get out there, you're going to be facing overwhelming odds. And you're going to be looking at things that the devil throws at you, and it's going to be too much for you. And you're going to say, I don't know if I can make this. I don't know if I'm going to do it. I think I'm going under this time. But a dino said, you know what? I may die, but I'm going to fight to the end, and I'm going to overcome these odds. Now, I'm going to tell you what, we need some people in the ministry who will stand up and say, I don't care what I face. I'm going to fight on until I get the victory. I'm going to fight on until I conquer. I'm going to fight on and get victory for Jesus Christ. And you stand against overwhelming odds. Does not matter what the devil throws at you, you're going to stand. You may have heart problems. You may go ahead and face things in the ministry. You may get sued. Boy, that happens all the time. You get sued. You may have health issues. You may have problems in the church. And you may just be struggling along and you say, I don't know. It's just one enemy after another, after another, after another, one thing after another, after another. I don't know if I can take it, but yes, you can. He faced and he killed 800 Philistines with a spear. Hey, you can overcome any odds that you face. Hello? Hey, you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Hey, you can overcome whatever God allows in your life. You can overcome it. You can stand against overwhelming odds and be victorious. He was victorious in overwhelming odds. It looked like, man, how could anybody make it through this? How's he going to survive this? How's he going to get past this? My soul is surrounded. And by the way, there are going to be times where you're going to feel like you're surrounded. You're looking at it, and the devil's got all of his devils coming after you every different direction. And you just decide, hey, I'm going to take the spear. I'm going to take whatever I have, and I'm going to fight against overwhelming odds, and I'm going to be victorious. You go ahead. You can be victorious. So they don't have to live a defeated Christian life. He could have said, good night. There's so many people out here. I don't have a chance, and took off, which is what happened to a lot of Israelites. But he stayed and fought. But let me give you another one here. And I'm going to go quickly here, but there's some of this I'm going to spend more time. Eliezer. Eliezer finished the fight. He had the sword. He had the sword, and he worked on it so hard. He fought so much that he finished the fight. You know, there's going to be times when you're going to be so tired, you don't think you can go on anymore. There are going to be times when you're going to be so worn out and so physically exhausted, you don't think you can make it anymore. But you keep fighting. He had the sword. And by the way, our sword is the Word of God. Bible says in Hebrews that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword that there is. I got news for you today. You need to get your Bible and you need to give it on your hand and let your hand cleave to the sword. Amen? You need to cleave to the Bible. Hey, I'm talking about hold that Bible. Everything God done, has done it through His Word. Hello, are you following me? God done it. He created the whole world. He spoke and it all came into existence. When Jesus performed miracles, He spoke and it took place. Everything God does, He does by His Word. When Jesus comes back and He comes back against the Antichrist, He's going to destroy the Antichrist and the enemy with the Word of His power, with the sword of His mouth. He's going to come out. The Word of God. You need the Word of God. By the way, go ahead and hang on to that Bible no matter what. Don't let go. The Bible said His hand clave to the sword. Well, maybe He couldn't put it down. Maybe He couldn't. By the way, get so much in the Bible that you can't get rid of it. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. You can't get it out. You can't. People say, give it up. Turn back. No, 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 no. I can't. My hand is cleaving to the sword. Amen? Maybe He couldn't put it down. Maybe He shouldn't put it down. By the way, you shouldn't put down the Word of God. Don't ever get discouraged and say, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to do this anymore and put my Bible away. I'm done. I'm giving up. I'm not going to do it. No, your hand clave to the sword. Maybe He couldn't put it down, and maybe He shouldn't put it down. And you should not put down the Word of God. Don't ever let go of it. Don't compromise it. Don't turn away from it. Keep going. Keep preaching it. Keep standing by it. Use the Word of God. Don't let go. Let your hand cleave to the sword. Maybe He couldn't put it down. Maybe He shouldn't put it down. Maybe He wouldn't put it down. You ever think of that? He just said, I'm not doing this. By the way, they're going to get plenty of people going to try to get you to quit. They're going to try to get you to give up. You call home and your mama, my baby boy, you come home. And mama, I love you, but I picked up the sword. And I'm not putting it down. Hello? Anybody with me now? Maybe He couldn't put it down. Maybe He shouldn't put it down. Maybe He wouldn't put it down. Maybe He just said, you know, I'm not. And by the way, I decided a long time ago, Brother House would come in here and he would preach. And he'd say, hey, you get the Bible and you hold on to it and you serve God. And don't you quit and don't you compromise and don't you turn back and don't you get out. He said, 20 years from now, I want to see you in the ministry. 30 years from now, I want to see you in the ministry. Well, it's been 46, 47 years for me and I'm still in the ministry. I'm not going to put it down. 46 years from now, if the Lord tarries, I'll be in heaven, but you better not put the sword down. Somebody else needs to come to chapel and give some crazy nuts a sword. What is it? He said he's going to fight till it's finished. He's going to fight till it's finished. You know, I determined a long time ago, I'm not going to quit. He said, well, when's your battle done? When I get to heaven, then I'm going to sit down for about 10,000 years and do nothing. But until then, I'm fighting to the finish. I'm right now, I'm getting old, Brother Mitchell, I'm getting old. Okay, I'm old. Shut up. People in my church, pastor. Well, they don't come to me. They go to my wife. Mrs. McSpadden? Yes? Do you think pastor's going to retire? She said, not on your life. He's not going to retire. I got up, I told the people, some of you have asked him if I'm going to retire. I'm not going to retire. I am going to be in, I'm going to stay in the pulpit. I'm going to preach. I said, I'm going to die in the pulpit. And I said, well, not literally. I don't want to just be up there and go, you know. Up here preaching away. Ah! Everybody's freaking out. Ah! Yeah, what is it? I'm going to finish the job. I'm going to keep on going until my last breath, until I can't stand up anymore, until I can't do anymore. I'm just going to keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. And some of you young people need to decide right now, I'm going to finish the job. I'm going to cleave to the sword. I'm going to keep on battling. I'm going to go until I die. I'm going to go until my last breath. I'm going to go until Jesus Christ calls me home. I'm just going to keep on going until I finish the job. Finish it. But then we have Shammah. He's in the bean field. All the Israelites are running away. He's in a bean field. Now, why would you defend a bean field? He wasn't defending a bean field. He was defending his honor. You're not going to run from an enemy that's coming. The Bible says everybody else left, and he was there in the bean field by himself. Where's Shammah? Shammah? He's in the bean field by himself. You say, what do we learn from him? Sometimes you have to stand alone. Everybody else took off. Everybody else saw the enemy, they left. Everybody else saw trouble, they ran. And he stood by himself, and he stood there alone. He says, I'll fight the battle. And there's going to be times in your life where everybody's going to forsake you, and you're going to have to stand alone. You just stand. You know, the thing is God didn't call me to win every victory. He called me to stand, and I'm going to stand, and he'll give me the victory, or he'll take me home, one of the two. Amen? Stand alone. Look. If you have to have somebody supporting you all the time, you're going to struggle in the ministry. Because there's times where you just have to take a stand, and I'm going to stand alone. And if I got to stand alone, then I stand alone. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Learn to stand alone. Look, you plus God is a majority. You're going to be okay. But we need Christians who are willing to stand alone. By the way, sometimes on the job, you got to stand alone. You got to be the only Christian testimony there, some of you. I don't know. You might have to learn to stand alone. Sometimes if you go out to start a church sometimes, you're going to be walking around. You're not going to have a bunch of people in your church to start off with. You're going to go out there and you're going to be by yourself and you're going to knock on doors and nobody's going to. I got news for you. Everybody else is busy. They're not going to be calling to check on you. Hello? So you're painting kind of a bleak picture. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you reality. You got to stand alone. You need to just go ahead and say, you know what, I'm going to stand by my, if I stand by myself, I stand by myself. If I'm going to start this church, I'll start this church and I'll be by myself and I'll be the only one knocking on doors. I'll be the only one praying. I'm the only one. And sometimes you might be the only one you preach to. We had a snowstorm over in Rochester. And I tell our people, we never close the church. We never do. Snowstorm. I said, if you don't feel you can get here safely, you stay home. I said, but I will be here. I will get here one way or the other. And so I'll be here. I had a big snowstorm. It was so bad, I told my wife, I said, you're not going. You stay here. I'm going to get over to the church. And I got to the church. I got there. It was only me. I said, well, okay. I got up. Let's sing a song. Amazing grace, how sweet. And I gave the announcement. I was the only one in the auditorium. I'm going along, and all of a sudden, the guy walks in the back. He said, hello. I said, hello. He said, you're having church? I said, I am. He said, I looked on TV. You're the only church that wasn't closed. Yeah, so he came in. I preached to him. The entire crowd came to the altar. God was moving. Amen. Sometimes you got to stand alone. Let me say this. Abishai, I don't have time to demonstrate. Abishai demonstrates, do what you can. Adino killed 800 with a spear. Abishai killed 300 with a spear. But you know what? He wasn't comparing himself to Adino. He said, I might not be able to kill 800, but I can do 300. Don't compare yourself. Don't look at somebody else and say what they're doing. Do what you can. Do what you can for the Lord. And then the last one, Benaiah, he was a man of courage. He was a man who said, you know what? I may not be able to do what that guy does and that guy and this guy, this guy, but I can have courage. And you know what? We need a generation of young people who rise up and say, I'm going to have courage and be courageous for the Lord. And I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'd be scared to death, but I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And you know what? God will do great victories. These men that were the mighty men of David teach us some wonderful lessons. They teach us to stand against overwhelming odds. They teach us to finish the fight. They teach us that we need to stand alone. They teach us to fulfill the will of God. They teach us to do what you can and don't compare yourself to others. They teach us to be valiant and courageous. And you know what the thing is? Our nation is dying for men who will rise up in courage and stand for right. Fight against evil. Stand against overwhelming odds. Stand alone if you have to, but stand. Having done all, just stand.